word in just a moment, but yeah, Adina's going to, if somebody could maybe help her out, we're going to, as part of the sermon this morning, we're going to just remember our core values. If you are not familiar with them, or this is like one per family, I don't think we have enough for everybody, but this is a list of our core values. Adina also made a cool new bulletin board that you'll see in the hallway, but we're going to take a little bit of time for the next few weeks and just kind of refresh ourselves around some of the values that we have as a church. And so I want to pray for us in just a minute. But in terms of where we've been, we've just finished up a short series on the book of Joel in the Old Testament. With our preaching time, we're going to be, after Labor Day, going through the book of Acts. That will be a new sermon series that we'll be starting. You might want to begin reading the book of Acts, just get familiar with it. We'll have one of the visiting pastors for the LDR conference will be here on Labor Day. But the next few weeks, we want to spend just focusing on a couple of our core values. So I want to pray for us a minute, and then we're going to get a little bit of help to just refresh our minds on some of these values from Vera and from Brandon. So please join me. Let's pray together. Father, you have given us the privilege to worship you. Lord, you have given us voices to raise. Lord, you've given us fellowship and brothers and sisters to walk with. Lord, you've given us your word to teach us, to instruct us, to help us to grow in righteousness. So this morning we pray that as we look at your word, as we look at the ministry of Jesus, that you would shape us, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would help us to become more fully the people that you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, that it's all by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as I said, most years we spend a little bit of time as we enter into the fall to focus on one of our core values. We want to do that for the next few weeks, focusing really on the kingdom of God and the promises of God. Before we do that, though, I want to just ask Vera to come on up, and she's going to remind us of the mission that we're called to as a church, which we believe is really the mission of God and God's people everywhere. So as we think about kind of refreshing our minds about who we are and what we're about, microphone. Yeah, would you just read for us how we've summarized our mission statement here?
New City Fellowship exists to seek the establishment of God's kingdom rule in the hearts of people from every ethnic group by discipling the nations in the reconciling gospel of Jesus Christ through a clear proclamation of salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone and by doing spirit-led deeds of justice and mercy.
Amen. Thank you. And we've historically had a number of core values. This is not really a statement of faith, but these are values that shape our church. And so Brandon's going to help me. He's going to read one. I'm going to read another one here. So let's remind the church, Brandon, of some of our core values.
The first core value is gospel power, called to be sons and daughters of God.
All right. And all of these are unpacked more in your brochure. We're not going to read everything there, but the next one is the kingdom of God, the establishment of God's justice and mercy on the earth.
Then spiritual foundation, practices that help us grow in grace.
Team ministry, reflecting the Trinity and the body of Christ.
Reconciliation, God's plan to bring all things together under the rule of Christ.
The promises of God, confidence in God's covenantal commitment to us.
Humility and humble circumstances, God's power revealed in human weakness.
And finally, trials, God's prescription for maturing our faith.
Amen. So,
thanks, Brandon. And we teach classes on these from time to time. We've got information on our website if you'd like to learn more about it. But as I said, we often take a few weeks just to preach sermons around some of these. And so this week and next week, Pastor Roy and I will be focusing on what we call the kingdom of God, the establishment of God's justice and mercy on the earth. I'm going to read a few scripture passages at different times, and so you'll find those in your bulletin, and they'll also be on the screen behind me. But I want to ask you just to imagine, if you can, it's hard to put ourselves in another time, in another place, but imagine that you are growing up in the time of Jesus, in Nazareth or Galilee, Judea, somewhere where he would have been traveling. You grew up 2,000 years ago, and you heard this story about this carpenter's son who had grown up learning this trade, but now he had become a rabbi, a teacher. And a word was beginning to spread, not through Facebook or Twitter, but just through word of mouth like it always has, about this man, Jesus. And you're curious. And so you take some time to go and find out that he's teaching in a nearby town. You go and spend the day listening to him, and you're interested in what he has to say, and it captures your heart to the point that you want to hear him some more. You go to listen to him again, and eventually you want to follow him. You want to become one of his disciples. You want to become one of his students. Well, you go back to your home. You go back to your family. And they start asking you questions. Where have you been? What have you been doing? What is this that you're learning? And who is this man, Jesus? What is he all about? What does he teach? What is his message? How would you answer the question? How would you answer the question in just a few short words? Could you even answer the question now, having the Word of God and the Gospels? Who is Jesus and what is he about? Well, thankfully, we have some help in answering this question. Matthew himself does that in Matthew chapter 4. And so Matthew writes his Gospel for us, his followers, and in this very short verse, chapter 4, verse 23, he describes the ministry of Jesus. You all have job descriptions, right, for your job in different places. Maybe tell you what you should be doing at least. And here's what it says about Jesus and his ministry. That he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So it was a ministry of word and deeds, a ministry of teaching and a ministry of healing. But the summary that Matthew gives of the message of Jesus is that he was proclaiming something, he was speaking something, and that something is the gospel or the good news of the kingdom. It's not in your bulletin, but in fact, another passage in Acts, which will be in Acts in just a few weeks, but Luke says it this way. After the resurrection in Acts, Jesus appeared to the apostles, and for 40 days he was speaking to them about the good news of the kingdom. And many of you who are familiar with Jesus and you know the Gospels, you know that Jesus often told lots of stories, short stories that were meant to capture our attention or to kind of wake us up or to challenge us. And these stories are called parables. And many, many of the parables are about this same topic, the kingdom of God. So the ministry of Jesus is focused on what he and the disciples call the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, we're not going to show the video. There's a short video I was going to show. Here's what we're going to do. We'll put it out on our church Facebook page, and we'll email it to you. But there's a short, like, three-minute video that kind of summarizes this in a way for those of you who want a visual. Wait for the Facebook or the email. But what I want to talk about today is what is this kingdom, and who is this king? Who is he, and what is he like? And I'm going to use this opportunity a little bit today to touch on some things that are on probably most of our minds and kind of the place we are as a nation and our thoughts in relation to our country and things that are going on with the election and the politics. It's not going to be fundamentally about that, but I want to speak to that a little bit as we talk about the kingdom of God this morning. The ministry of Jesus is focused on the good news of the kingdom. I don't know if you've been feeling this recently as I think about sort of the mood of our country. Up until about a week ago when the Olympics started, I was really discouraged. And then thankfully the Olympics give us something else to think about for a little while, right? But the Olympics are going to be done in about a week, right? And the election's not going to be done yet. Of course, the campaigns that were happening before that, the Democratic Convention, the Republican Convention. And I think anybody who's paying attention, you must feel and you must see and you must hear the anxiety that is present in our country, right? And the fear that's present in so many people who live in our country. And many of you, like me, may be weary of the brokenness in our country, the lack of peace, the lack of what is just, whether it's on the streets of our cities or whether it's in the boardrooms of our nation or anywhere among our leaders. And you might be discouraged at what is too often a lack of integrity and truthfulness and honesty among some of our leaders. And you may wonder, is everybody out for their own interests? And you may even fear for the future. I don't know who your friends are on Facebook, if you have Facebook, but I have friends who are convinced that if Trump gets elected, it's the end of our country. And that if Clinton gets elected, it's the end of our country. You hear this fear coming from all angles. If you had to describe our national mood, you would maybe think of words like a disorder, fear, anxiety, despair even. And what I've got to admit is the state of our country can cause some of those things in me, but lots of other things can cause them as well, right? Things that are going on in my family, things that are going on in the church, things that are going on in my neighborhood. I can be filled with fear, with anxiety. And in response, I can sometimes get angry. I can be impatient. I can want to completely disconnect into my own little world. Sometimes it seems that there are good reasons for this, right? Because there are problems in this world. There are problems in our nation. There are problems in our lives. But most of the time, if I'm honest, if I am deeply troubled, if I am filled with fear, if I am filled with anxiety, if I am being controlled by these things in my own heart, can I be honest with you? If that's where I am most of the time, it's because in my life, functionally, day to day, I've made my life about the wrong king or the wrong kingdom. I have made the center of my life the wrong king or the wrong kingdom. I have placed my hope in some human leader, some organization, some party, some national kingdom, or I have made my hope some other person. It might even be one of you in this room. It could be somebody in my family, or I have placed my hope in myself as if I am the king. And it is a very, I think you know this, it is a very short time from that to fear, anxiety, discouragement, despair. Here's the really good news for us this morning, is that we have a better king and we have a better kingdom. Jesus spoke and talked about the kingdom of God, but Paul also wrote about it. One place he wrote about it is in Romans chapter 14, and this is just a very short verse in the midst of a larger discussion. He was actually talking in Romans 14 about being patient with one another and not judging one another based on things that aren't essential. So we're not going to judge each other based on what we eat or what we drink. There's freedom in these areas as God's people, because the kingdom of God fundamentally isn't about those things. And this is what he says. I love this verse. He says in Romans 14, verse 17, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, a right relationship with God that's been restored through the righteousness of Christ and His grace, but also is lived out in a righteous life. Peace, reconciliation, wholeness in relationships with God and with one another. Joy, delight, deep, abiding gladness that is not this roller coaster that's rooted to the circumstances of your life one moment after another. And if you are feeling, as so many in our country are, despair, disorder, discouragement, anxiety, fear, I want to invite you this morning into the kingdom of Jesus, of righteousness and peace and joy. Pastor Roy will be talking about some of this next week as well, but what I want to focus on this morning is who is this king? And what is this kingdom like? Who is this king and what is this kingdom like? Of course, Jesus, it was his message. Now, Jesus is God. So as God, he knows all things, but he's also human. And as a person, we know that he grew in wisdom and understanding. So what is it that would have shaped Jesus' understanding of this kingdom? His father. And his father would have got it from his father and his father before him. But also they had a text, right? The Old Testament, which was the scripture for the people of God in the New Testament. And this would have shaped Jesus' understanding of the kingdom of God. Now, there's all sorts of places we could go in the Old Testament to kind of unpack this a little bit more. But I want to look at one place this morning. I want to look at Psalm 146. And I want us just to read this together, because as we talk about the kingdom of God and we talk about God being the king, I think there's a lot in here that will help us move towards righteousness and peace and joy. Will you just follow along with me as we read Psalm 146, which again, I believe Jesus would have certainly known, probably would have had memorized. It would have shaped his life and ministry. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Real simple message this morning, church. We have the opportunity to enter into righteousness and peace and joy because the Lord is the great King and because his kingdom is so great. The Lord is the great King. And his kingdom is so great. The Lord is the great king. I've told this story before. Many of you have seen the movie, but the interaction in The Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. And it's a conversation between the talking beavers and the little children. Happens all the time, right? The talking beavers. But the little children enter into Narnia and they hear about this great king over all of Narnia, Aslan, the great lion. And they're excited to meet him. And then they're in the beaver's house. And the beavers are having this conversation. And Lucy, the little girl, says, "Is he safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." Mrs. Beaver says, "That you will, dearie. And make no mistake, if there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or just silly. Lucy says, then he isn't safe? Mr. Beaver says this, safe? Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord is the King, awesome in power, majesty, and authority. Do you notice what this psalm says about the King? He is all powerful. He created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, the sea and all that is in it. God spoke. Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, he who made the sea and all of its mysteries can steer us across the pathless deeps of a troubled life and make it a way for his redeemed to pass over. The Lord is the great creator, all powerful. He is eternal. There's this kind of play on words here. You won't catch it in the English, but it says, put not your trust in princes, in human beings, the greatest human being, the most powerful rulers who have ever ruled in this world have only lived a very short time. The psalmist says, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man. And it says later, when his breath departs, he returns to the earth. Now in Hebrew, that's man, Adam, and earth, Adamah. The words are related. Just like you and me, from the earth to the earth. Short lives, finite lives, limited lives. And God, the great King, is eternal, everlasting, forever. To all generations, there will be no end. The Lord will reign forever. He is all powerful. He is eternal. He is faithful. He keeps faith forever. And honestly, there is a lot to criticize among different leaders among any of the nations for their failure to follow through on all of their promises. But honestly, how different am I? All of us, broken, weak, children of Adam. The Lord alone is faithful. I don't you find the most faithful person, if you put your ultimate hope in them, you will be disappointed. The Lord alone is faithful. And he is good. He is just. He is kind. I want a king like this. I want a king like this. Put not your trust in princes, in the Son of Man, in whom there is no salvation. Now, as a church that is coming out of the Reformation, we affirm some different things. And one of the things we affirm is the calling that we all have to be servants of God wherever he places us. We believe that we are created in the image of God with incredible dignity and responsibility. So what you do in your workplace matters. We are not escapists. We believe that God's put us in this country as his ambassadors. Roy's going to be talking about more of that next week. So we believe that how we live as citizens in our country matters. We actually believe that it can be a very noble thing to go into politics as a representative of Christ. Governments have their place. But the power of a president or a nation is nothing compared to the Lord. Rulers come and go. Nations come and go. This world remains because the Lord sustains it. He holds us together. And too often, especially in recent history, in the churches within our country, the churches that especially might be described as evangelical churches, too often have confused the nature of our good news. We are the people of the good news. That's what evangel means. The good news. The good news of the kingdom. We are not the people of the good news of one particular human leader or another. We are not the people of the good news of a particular political party or another. We are not the people of the good news of the United States of America. We have a much greater king and a much greater kingdom. We are the people of the good news of the Lord, King Jesus and his kingdom. One of the things this means, at least for me as a pastor, is I'm not going to tell you how to vote, especially this year. I'm not even going to tell you to vote or not vote. Seek the Lord, wrestle through your conscience, try to understand based on the Word of God, listen to Him. But here's what I will tell you. I will tell you strongly, as passionately as I can, do not put your ultimate hope in your vote. Do not put your ultimate hope in the leader for the next 4 years, or the next 8 years, or the next 40 years, or the next 80 years. You have a better king. You have a better kingdom. And this also means you don't need to despair. You know, when the world and the nation and your friends and your coworkers are saying the sky is falling, the sky is falling, that is the very place for you, as a person who knows a better king and a better kingdom, to be a representative of righteousness and peace and joy. What will that look like? Here's one thing that it will look like is, as a church and for you and for me, on November 6th, before the election day, we'll gather together, as we do every Sunday, to celebrate the resurrection. And we may, on that day, as we did last week, say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And then we're going to get together the next Sunday, after the election, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And as we often do, we might say on that day, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty." And the most fundamental things in your life and in this world will not have changed because we have the same King and the same kingdom. We can be people of righteousness and peace and joy. A friend of mine, an African-American pastor, said, "What could God possibly have in mind in this election? Perhaps," he says, "the revival of his people who for far too long have put too much thought, angst, worry, and faith in this political system." We have a better king. We have a better kingdom. And I've been applying this, of course, kingdom of God in the reign of Jesus in relation to our country, the national mood, but maybe your hope, as I said, is not in the next president. Maybe your hope is not in our political process. Maybe your hope is just in your boss. And your boss getting it right so that you have the life you want. Maybe your hope today is in your spouse. And maybe because of that, you are here this morning in pain and despair and disappointment because your spouse has not delivered all of your hopes and dreams. Maybe you're here this morning and your hope isn't in another person, but it's in yourself. And you are feeling the crushing weight and the burden of owning responsibility for everything. And I want to say you got a better king and a better kingdom. And we can walk in righteousness, peace, and joy. Tim Keller says that idolatry is really putting a good thing in the place of an ultimate thing. And idolatry always leads to despair. If you've taken anything, anyone, any person, including yourself, and made them ultimate, open your hands. Let go of your idols. Come before the one King. Bend your knee. Worship Him. Enter into His kingdom. The King is great, and His kingdom is great. Just very briefly here, Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is where the king reigns, where the king rules. The kingdom of God, Jesus said at times, is among you. It is within you. If you have given your life to the king, then you are entering into his kingdom. The kingdom of God can find expression within our church as we gather together. It can find expression in this city. But real briefly here, all I want to say about the kingdom is that it is defined for us by the king. When you have a kingdom, you have an expression of the values of the king. You know, when we talk about political candidates and their parties and their platforms, it can be hard to find out sometimes exactly what they believe and what they want to do. Sometimes because they're not clear. Sometimes politicians are sort of, you know, we used to do this, you lick your finger and you stick it up in the wind, right? And the cold side, that's where the wind's coming from. And so any human leaders are going to be doing that, right? Kind of, where are things going? I want to go that direction. The kingdom of God is defined for us. It is established. It doesn't change. And we find it expressed in the laws in the heart of the king. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't worship other gods. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This great passage in Micah 6, verse 8. I always think of this when I think of Pastor Macklin Bosse in Togo. He's got a ring with Micah 6, 8. He has shown you, it says in Micah 6, 8. What is good? What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Justice, mercy, humility, love. And in this Psalm 147 especially, you see all of these things expressed. You see here the values of the king. Verses 7 through 9. Justice for the oppressed, food for the hungry, prisoners set free, eyes of the blind opened, watching over the sojourners, upholding the widows and the fatherless. Of course, you don't have to think very long to think about almost every one of those finding expression in the life and the ministry of Jesus. Healing the sick, feeding the poor, welcoming the stranger. Next week, as I said, Pastor Roy is going to talk about what it means to be ambassadors of this kingdom. But today I want to just reflect on the goodness of this kingdom. Peace, justice, mercy, not for the powerful only or especially, but especially for the vulnerable. A kingdom of selfless love, justice, and mercy. Jesus, I said, told some stories about this kingdom, and two of them at least had a very simple point. Do whatever you can to be part of this kingdom. Here were the stories. One of them was about a man who was probably walking along a field and he noticed an incredible treasure in this field. The treasure was buried there and he went and he sold everything he had. He mortgaged it all so that he could buy this one field because the treasure was so great. Another story was about a person who found this pearl that was the greatest pearl of the highest price ever. And the point of the story was, do all you can to get this. It's a treasure. It's great. You will find no place like the kingdom of God, the reign of Jesus, the reign of God. Do not put your hope in yourself, in your country, in your nation, in your family, in your employer, in your workplace, in your school. You have a greater kingdom. I want to just kind of wrap up this morning by asking us, how is it that we actually enter into this kingdom? Paul in Ephesians 2 says that all of us were outsiders. We were foreigners. We were strangers. We didn't have rights to be part of this kingdom. And then it says that through Jesus Christ, we who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. He himself is our peace. Many of you here, my brothers and sisters, are immigrants and refugees from other places. And when you came, you may have come as a refugee. But others can come on a visa, right? And you can come into our country on a tourist visa, or you can come on a work visa, or a student visa, different types of visas. There's only one visa that will give you access to the kingdom of God. Which one is it? It's the family reunification visa. Here's the good news, church. This king, this great king, is the one that Jesus taught us to pray to when we say, "Our Father." Our Father is the king. And Jesus, Hebrews says, is our brother. Jesus, King Jesus, is your brother. Not ashamed to call you brother and sister. I want to invite you this morning to treasure his kingdom and to enter into it. Only in this way. Unite yourself to Jesus. Give yourself to the great king. Place yourself under his care. Trust in him. Come to him. As we do, our lives are not perfect. They're not easy. We still live as broken people in this broken world. But as we do, this is my testimony. There's a foundation. There's a hope. And there's a place for growing, real experience of a righteousness and a peace and a joy that can't be taken away. Can I pray for us this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Jesus, we thank you for the good news of the kingdom. And Father, this morning, I just pray for myself and for anyone who is gathered here this morning. Lord, if we have placed our ultimate hope in anything other than you, Lord, we want to surrender this morning. We want to turn from those idols. We want to place our trust in you, who are eternal, all-powerful, faithful, good, everlasting. You are our King. Thank you that you've made us your children. If there's anyone here, Lord, this morning who's not yet at that place of surrendering to you, I pray that you would move their heart beyond fear, beyond control, into a place of the freedom that belongs to your children. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, church. One thing that you do when you're part of the kingdom of God is you have a feast. So Pastor Roy is going to lead us at the Lord's table.
As we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, I wanted us to start our time by reading the words of institution, coming from Mark 14, beginning at verse 22. It says, "And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many.'" As Pastor Kevin reminded us this morning, that this kingdom, this gospel, this good news It's not the kingdom. It's not the gospel. It's not the good news of the people of the United States. It is the good news of our great God and King, Jesus, namely. And this table is his table. And he invites you here, if you are one who is trusted in him, who's been baptized, who is trusting by faith alone in his salvation, in his kingdom, and you are living out that kingdom, and you're striving to be all that he has called you to be, that this table is for you. This table is not a Presbyterian table. This table is not an American table. It is not my table. It's not Pastor Kevin's table. It is not New City's table. It is the Lord's table. The kingdom is his. It is his table. And he invites you. He draws near to us. He feeds us. He is spiritually present. And he wants you and me to take, to eat, to drink of him, to be reminded that we are his, that we are his servants, that we are his children, that he has brought us into his kingdom. If you are here this morning and you don't know where you stand with the Lord, we ask that you would spend this time reflecting, thinking through what it means to follow Jesus. We ask that you would ask yourself, what is holding me back from trusting in him? What is holding me back from trusting in this King who promises that his kingdom is of righteousness and joy and peace? And we know we all want that. And we ask that if you are here this morning and you don't know where you stand with God, to use this time to reflect. Use this time to think about and dwell upon the promises and claims of King Jesus. And it is our longing that you would one day trust him, that you would one day turn to him and join us at this table. Beloved, God's people, this table is for you. It is for sinners like you and me. And our God has come to draw near to us. So let us take, eat, and drink in faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you remind us of who we are every week, every day. We thank you that you draw near to us in this table, that you are present, Jesus, that you spiritually feed us and nourish us and strengthen us for the good work of your kingdom. Lord, we ask that you would give us faith. We ask that we would taste and drink of the righteousness and the joy and the peace that you promise in your kingdom. We ask that you would use these elements for your purposes. We ask that you would use these elements to heal us, to comfort us where we are hurting, to feed us where we are hungry, to mobilize us that we might serve you and that we might delight in serving you. We pray, Lord, bless this time. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.